11 people. Can you imagine if I was the only one who did things around my house? But I know when it comes to getting kids to help out, it can be tricky, to say the least. As a mom of 9 for 23 years now, how I get my kids to help has got to be in the top 5 of questions that I most frequently get asked. And so we're going to talk about it in episode 25 of the Intentional Mom Podcast. Let's jump in. Well, hey there. I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of 9 who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining Supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. So when it comes to getting kids, when it comes to talking about getting kids to help, first we need to take this apart. We need to talk about the whole idea of the word help. And I put that in quotes, help, because it's not really an accurate picture of what we need the people that we live with, the people in our house. It's not really an accurate picture of what we need them to do. To say help kind of means that these are things that are on my plate. And these are things that I need to take off my plate and give to you. And it essentially makes the assumption that these are my things to do. And asking for help means, again, I'm asking you to do them instead of me. And I think it's important to come up with a word to substitute then, because it's not really helpful for kids, at least not mine, to have the impression of this is how things work. These responsibilities are mine, but I need you to take them off my plate. That's not how I want my kids to understand how things operate in this home that we all live in. And so for me, it's important for me to know, for my kids to know that you get X because you get X, you've got to contribute towards making X happen. This is a basic understanding of the way different things work in life, a lot of things. And so it's important for me that my kids understand that. And so essentially the way that we would plug it into the equation here is because you live here, you've got to help take care of things that offset the living here part. We all live here, which means meals get made here, laundry gets done here, messes get made here. Life happens here. We have fun here too, right? But because life happens here, we all have to take ownership of that. We all have to take responsibility for that. And so essentially, we all need to play a role in making sure that things get done because we all live here. And so I think before we dive into the actual steps, it was important for me to share this because I think it's helpful to have a healthy perspective of it's not a you and then of them. It's not a you and them thing, right? It's not a you and your kids thing. It's more like a we're all in this together thing, at least in my house. And so if you have an understanding of how your family unit operates, you're able, and so if you spend some time thinking about this first, and again, I explained to you the way that it kind of works mentally in my mind, the way that I think about it, but you have to do the same thing in yours. And so really, if you've coming up with this healthy perspective helps first. How would you like your family as a unit to think of itself? What is the language and culture you want to have in your home and family? And so I think setting that kind of foundation first is really helpful before we dive into the steps. So do spend some time thinking about that. Again, I shared mine with you. Maybe you'll find it helpful. Maybe you want to take mine just as it is. Maybe you want to take mine and modify it. Maybe you want to start completely over. But spend some time thinking about the language that you would like your family to have when it talks about and sets up systems and processes to actually help manage the home and get things done. So spend some time thinking about that. And now we're going to get into the nitty gritty of how I have structured the things to be done in our home so that, again, we kind of have that team feeling. That's that culture and language that we choose to have, that team feeling. So when it comes to getting things done, I've actually got 8 steps, and that might sound like a lot and it might sound hugely complicated. I promise it's not. But there's just 8 different steps that kind of come into play here. So number one, when it comes to me essentially creating as the primary home management person, I'm the one that comes up with how things get done. I'm the one responsible for distributing that and distributing those things. And so if you're responsible for that as well, then you will follow these same steps. Number one, certain jobs, when it comes to the things that need to be done, certain jobs are consistent, meaning the same kids get the same jobs every week or every other week or whenever they're done. Primarily their rooms are the things that are consistent. There's a few other things that are slightly consistent, yet they do change at times as well. But their rooms are pretty much consistently their responsibility. And the other jobs are different every week. And we've kind of been all over the place. We've tried like rotating different jobs every week. We've tried every month. And really, we've settled on this variety every week as something that works for us. We've done all kinds of things. We've put the jobs in like a draw your job out of a hat thing. We've done that. We've done it with popsicle sticks, you know, pull the popsicle stick out and do the job on it. We've done all those things, and they've all worked for a time. But this is the system that I'm sharing with you today. This is the system that has withstood the test of time and that seems to work the best for us over time. So again, most of the jobs are not consistent, meaning it's going to be different week by week. Who does it? Okay. So a couple of them are consistent, primarily their rooms. But for the most part, though, we have that variety. And I think the variety in what we're asking our kids to do, I think the fact that they have that variety is what makes this work. It's what makes this system work. It's the fact that they're not getting bored. They don't feel like they're always doing the same thing. It's just a little bit new and different every weekend. And that makes it, I think, more tolerable for kids to do, at least the ones that live here. But number one is, know that certain jobs, a couple of jobs are going to be consistent, but otherwise I find variety helps. And don't worry, I'm going to tell you how that looks now. So number two, once you kind of pull out those consistent jobs, I would kind of set those to the side. Okay. So now moving forward, we're just working with the jobs primarily that have that variety component. Now you can write the consistent ones down too, because we're going to get to the writing part here. But just know that those are going to be quick and easy. And the rest, the variety ones, are the ones you're going to work with a little bit more because they vary from week to week. But the second thing you're going to do is you're going to get just a regular piece of paper and you're going to write everybody who's going to be partaking in this. You're going to write their names on this list. You're going to write their names. Each week, you're getting a new list. Now, you know me, I am all about not doing the same thing again and again and again. I am all about set up something once and then just use the same system. But in this case, I find it really is helpful just to start fresh every week, just with a new piece of paper. So you're listing everybody's name on it, and you're going to be listing the jobs that you're assigning them underneath. And so you're literally going to list child A, their name, and you're going to write everything they're responsible for under that. And I think what makes this system of writing it down in this way work, I think where number two comes and becomes a benefit to how the system works and the fact that it works well, is that everybody can see what everybody's doing. Everybody can see that they're not the only one working. Everybody can see who's responsible for what. And again, it really builds that teamwork piece. It really drives that home so that it's not one person feeling like I have to do all these things, but it's they have the ability to look over and see, oh, well, my brother's doing all these things. I guess my things are better than his things, right? And because there's that variety, there's not really the opportunity to feel like, oh, well, you always get all the easy jobs, right? It's not, well, your jobs are easier than mine because there's variety every week. There's no way people really can't say that, because even if they think that particular job is harder than another, Well, they might have that job this week, but next week they're not going to. So there's, it's not really, it kind of takes the need to complain about unfairness, kind of takes it off the table, because it's this constant variety and rotation. So underneath everybody's name, you're going to write the things they're going to do. And make sure to check out the fourth step here for some guidance on this. I'm going to elaborate on this when we get to step number four a little bit. Okay, so you're just going to write their names and write what they're doing next to it. That's number two. Number three is you're actually going to make sure that your name is also on the list with the things that you will be doing. You're going to assign yourself jobs in the same way. And I find it really helpful, again, that your kids can see, you know what, I'm doing this alongside you. I'm doing this with you. Help. When your kids see you doing your jobs, it helps motivate them to do theirs. You are a part of the team just like they are. Again, it kind of puts you more on a level playing field, which, again, working alongside your kids is going to be one of the best ways to get them to work, right? Doing it together. We all like that. You'll even find, you know, the best businesses out there a lot of times are going to be ones where the business owner is down in the trenches rolling up their sleeves sometimes too. I know I certainly observe that. But number three is assign yourself jobs the same way that you're assigning your kids jobs. Number four, here's where I'm going to elaborate on the choosing of the jobs just a little bit more. I suggest in number four that you also ask your kids which jobs they want to do. They might actually have a preference about some of them. Now, of course, this can get a little tricky if you have kids saying, I want these particular jobs and they're all the easy ones or the fun ones, right? It has to be okay with everybody. When kids are picking their jobs, it has to be acceptable to all involved. So for instance, I have a couple of kids who pick a couple of the same jobs every week. They're fine with it. Everybody's fine with it. I didn't assign them those specific jobs in that consistent way, but they just like those, and it's fine for everybody. So when kids pick their jobs, as long as it's acceptable to everybody, it's acceptable to all of the kids, and it's, or the majority of them, I guess, and it's acceptable to you, well, why not, right? So having input, when they have input, It always makes them more willing to go along with the work. You always have a more willing participant when they feel as if they get some input or say so. So that's number four. Number five is to set realistic, age-appropriate expectations for what job completion looks like. So the same job might have different completion requirements or expectations depending on who's actually doing it, which is fine. And it is true that the job might be, quote, better if you're the one doing it, but who wants to do it all? Who has time to do it all? We don't want that, right? So sure, you might look at it and say, well, the job could be done better if I did it, but done is better than sitting around waiting for you to get to it, right? Done is always better than perfect. So set realistic expectations. So as you're assigning these jobs to your kids, you're going to have to think about, you know, my third kid is doing this job. And so when she's doing it, I need to make sure, you know, these couple of things are things that can't matter because it's beyond her ability, right? That's where that age appropriate expectations part comes in. So as you're assigning these jobs, you need to think about what is completion going to look like, and it needs to be appropriate for the person who's doing it. That's number five. Number six then is to train your kids in what your expectations are before you expect them to do the job solo. Before you expect them to take over and do that thing on their own, you need to train them in how to do the job. You have to train them in what they need to do in order to meet the expectations that you're setting up in number five. So visually seeing what done looks like is what makes this, again, is what makes this system work. And when they can visually see what completion looks like, of course, you're much more likely to reach that, to have that expectation met. It's really hard for kids to understand what you want them to do if all you're doing is verbally telling them. You want to be able to teach and train them before they do it on their own. Number 7, have something fun planned afterward. Incentives and rewards, they work. There's just no way around that. You like a reward too. I know I do. So it could be a shared reward, or it could be a reward that's different for everyone. There's a time and a place for each of those. But make sure that everyone knows at least that there's something fun coming after. You don't have to let the whole cat out of the bag, but them knowing that there's something fun coming after certainly helps. For us, we've been doing this system for so long, and this is just kind of the way that we have done it for so long, that our kids know that on a typical weekend, when we are divvying out the majority of these jobs, on a typical weekend, it's going to be a mess. We're going to work and get all of this stuff done, and then whatever we're doing, well, it will come after that. Again, it's not really a conversation that we have on a case-by-case basis because it's just kind of the way that things work. And they know that. So these things working, again, once you get this system in place, it kind of becomes this well-oiled machine. But the idea here, though, in number 7 is that you need to have some rewards and incentives set up so that they know that let's get the work done so that then we can have the reward. Super duper helpful, motivating. Everyone loves rewards and incentives. Number 8, the 8th thing that you need to do is check their work. I know this is hard. Who has the time for that? But accountability is what makes this work. And there just is no way around it. You're going to have to check their work. Now, of course, the more regularly each kid does each one of these jobs, you'll find that you have to do more checking in the beginning. And later on down the road, you don't have to do it probably as thoroughly, maybe even as frequently. And sometimes if you can have older kids check younger kids' work without issues, right? If you have the older kid who's willing to be honest, if you have the old, you know, and not just get their sibling in trouble, if you have the older kid who's able to understand what those age-appropriate expectations actually are, that can be something that can help. Again, you don't want your 15-year-old going in to check your 6-year-old's work with their expectations in mind, right? The expectations you would have for your 15-year-old are, of course, going to look different when it's the 6-year-old. And you have to make sure that the 15-year-old knows that, right? They need to know what your expectations were for that job for that particular child. Sometimes older siblings are able to help out with the checking. Sometimes they're not. So I say that it's possible. I say just exercise caution, though, because we do want to make sure that, again, the kids we're asking to do the judging are doing so honestly and fairly on both sides of the equation. If you've got this shared reward that's happening, you also want them to be honest for your benefit. You don't want them saying, oh yeah, it looks great, let's get on to the reward. And we don't want that, right? So you can do that. You can have your older kids check younger kids' work. I just would say exercise caution. So one of the best ways, I mentioned it a little bit in the actual steps, but I want to mention this again. One of the best and motivating ways, or one of the best ways I have found to motivate kids, is to get in there and work alongside them. There are times where a slight variation on this might be that I don't really assign myself a whole lot of things to do, but my time is spent going and working alongside different kids, maybe a little bit working with each kid, to just come alongside and work with them. We all like to work with someone. We all appreciate that. And so sometimes I use my time to primarily do that, but I do make sure to write that on the page. Sometimes I will ask my kids to do things that feel hard and seem hard and maybe are a little bit hard for them. But if I know that I'm going to be working with them on that, I will make sure to write that on the page. So they might initially see, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, clean out the car. But if they see that it'll say clean out the car with mom, well, now all of a sudden they don't have those thoughts quite the same way. So there is a time and a place too for assigning yourself to work with a kid or even to assign siblings to work together. We've done different variations on that as well. So both of those are suggestions I wanted to make sure that I told you. So this is the system that I use, but I always say with anything I teach, do what works and don't do what doesn't. Know that this system, you may need to tweak it, modify it, change it in order to make it work for you. And don't be afraid to change up how your getting things done system works when you start to notice that you're getting more pushback from your kids. I find that when I get more pushback or more resistance, more complaining, just more flack from my kids, it can often get offset just by doing things a little bit differently. And of course, there's all kinds of fun things you can throw into the equation as well. Sometimes we turn on fun music and we do it. We clean alongside with the fun music. Of course, you might take a dance break or something in the middle to make it fun as well. There's also been times where I have hidden little sweet treats in different areas that my kids have been assigned to work in, but they're only going to find the sweet treat if they do the job correctly. So it might be really well hidden, which they would find if they followed the steps. But that way, you know, if they didn't find the reward, well, they didn't do the steps. So sometimes I'll do that too. And even when I'm not doing that all the time, my kids know that that's a possibility. So that tends to motivate them to do the job correctly. There might be some hidden rewards. I'm going to make sure I get this done right. There's other times where we have had a contest. Again, you have to do so carefully. There's nothing wrong with the spirit of competition, but we have to make sure that all parties involved can handle the competition and the results. So that's another fun variation or a fun spin we've done at times. There's all kinds of little ways, again, that you can throw in some variety when you start to notice it's just getting harder to get them to do what you need them to do. So I hope that you have found my strategy for really helping get more things off of your plate. I hope that you have found this helpful. And if you've got, you know, if you've got other things that you'd like to add into the mix, again, there's no right or wrong way to do this. I've got a lot about this topic in my family management bundle. I'll post a link in the comments for where you can find that in my shop. You can also get the family management bundle for free if you join my, again, free challenge called 5 Essentials for Managing Your Home and Life. I'll also put a link to that in the comments as well. Coming up in the next episode, we're going to be talking about something that is like music to all mom's ears. So I'll tell you more about that soon. Make it an amazing day. Well, there was a lot there, wasn't there, in my system. My system for, again, really not so much helping kids, encouraging kids to help you, but really for encouraging kids to come in and just be a productive part of what they have access to, which is an amazing home to live in, an amazing family to be part of, all kinds of things that we supply our kids with all the time. So in the next episode, we're going to be talking about how to give yourself the weekend off. Sounds good, right? So much good stuff. So until then, make sure you're spending some intentional time here and there doing things that actually matter to you. We call that intentional living. Most times we spend the majority of our time in the backseat of your daily life, where you're at the mercy of whatever the day throws at you while essentially just trying to survive. But nope, let's not do that. I'm here to help you get into the driver's seat of your life. After all, it's your life. And that's what we're all about here at The Intentional Mom. I'm so glad you're here, and I can't wait to share more with you.